Welcome to Season 2, Episode 9 of The Tree of Geek. My name's Josh, and I'm here joined tonight with H-Train.
A Joga.
Just one?
A Joga.
Thank you. And on this episode, we'll be digging into Season 2 of the Halo television series that just wrapped up. Stream it wherever you can. I don't know if it's Peacock Plus, Paramount Plus,
Pretty Amazon. Sure it's Paramount.
I don't know. I just know I watched
it. It's on the internets.
So with Season 2 wrapped up, we're going to take a closer look at the Halo television universe, discuss what we think of it, what we liked, what we didn't like, and of course, what we think is going to happen next. So grab your favorite beverage, I know I already did, and settle into your comfiest spot, and let's embark on this together. So first and foremost...
Don't quit your day job.
Before we dive into it, I wish I could, but I can't. Michael, what is new in your world?
Oh, man. Like, I got a list of things here.
Just so you know, in this entire episode, from here on out, anything we discuss, anything at all, will potentially have spoilers.
Despite the fact that I was off work for a week, my mother passed and gave me a free vacation from work. So, you know, I'm glad she's in the great beyond, and I'd like to say thank you for the free week of vacation. And in that vacation time, I saw Madam Web, which didn't lift my spirits any during this troubled time. So I like Sydney Sweeney. I like Dakota Johnson. Adam Scott's in it. I feel like they had all these cool actors and gave them nothing to do. There was so much going on, and yet nothing happened. People crawl weird. I don't know why they're crawling weird, like the main bad person. So yeah, I mean, I watched it. It wasn't that great. I mean, some of the reviews are really, really, really brutal. Not sure it's even better than Venom 2, but you know, you guys, it deserves to be watched, but it's not that great. What was a little bit better than that was the Roadhouse remake, but that was a completely different animal than the original. I heard somebody tell me today that Conor McGregor can't act. Well, no shit. But it's not like he can't act, but he can act. I don't know. He's somewhere in the middle. The dude's got a brutal Irish accent. He played a psychopath in it. And I think it was very, very up his alley to just play a psycho who just wants to punch and kill people time doing it.
Yeah, I was going to say, he seems like he'd be the perfect person.
Deranged.
Yeah.
There's I'll spoil a thing here for you. He says, as he's fighting Jake Gyllenhaal for the first time in the movie, he's like, "There's something wrong with you, but there's something wrong with me too." I'm like, he delivered the line way better than I just did. I was like, okay, they're going to save a round two and maybe even a round three. So that's going to be pretty good.
Now, I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with UFC, all that stuff. Does he actually have that accent in real life?
Yeah, he's from Ireland.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he has that Conor McGregor whiskey.
So it wasn't that annoying fake Irish accent you hear a lot in movies.
No. He's like, I feel like on the streets kind of Irish the way he talks. Sometimes I have trouble understanding what he's saying. Not so much in the movie, but like in the interviews.
I mean, I have full intention of watching it. I just haven't gotten around to it yet. I mean, I still wish they would have brought back
Sam Elliott.
Thank you, Sam Elliott.
Well, they use some of the same names for some people. Oh, okay. So this is like a whole retelling, but in Florida. Yeah, this is in Florida, and it has some funny parts in it. So I watched that, and then I started reading a comic book called The Deviant. I didn't get super far into it. It's from Image Comics. It's about some Santa Claus serial killer, which, you know, I love horror movies, so it was up my alley. Artwork seems very different, kind of like water paintish. I don't know, kind of like smudgy or something. It's funky. Blood, there's some blood in it. There's swearing in it. It's definitely not for kids. But so far, I like it.
So after you told me about it, I actually did go pick it up. And yeah, you're right.
It's some brutal, brutal shit in there.
It's dark. Like, I don't even know if I'll finish it. It's
the language is dark. The subject matter is dark. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Pirates officially getting rebooted. Starting it all over. No Johnny Depp. No nothing. We're starting from scratch all over again.
Oh, really?
That's official.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
Caribbean or Caribbean? What do you say?
I say Caribbean. But if I'm going to go on a cruise, it's probably to the Caribbean.
Is it a crick or a creek?
Depends on how wide.
Ooh, never heard that answer before.
Ooh, okay. Just thought of that right now.
My daughter asked me the other day, she was like, so if there's 30 cows in a field and 28 chickens, how many didn't?
How many chickens got eaten by the cows? Is that the
That's
math you
the
have to do?
That's what the joke is. It's, yeah. You know, 30 cows.
For all you people that didn't figure that out.
And 20 of them ate chickens. And I'm just like, didn't what? Did you forget the joke? Like,
I first heard that joke. It was on one of those videos that you get on one of your socials, and it was a dad that could like solve any riddle, and they threw that one at him.
Nice.
X-Men 97. Check that out yet?
I have not had a chance.
It's pretty dope.
I think I'm going to wait until the whole season is dropped.
I started watching it because I thought it all came out together, and then I realized it didn't. So I got the three episodes in so far at this point in time that are out.
So the spoiler-free reviews I read said it does pick up right about the end of the original series.
They talk about the end of
The
previous series. Like, hey, this happened then, and these are the ramifications of what is going on. Now we have to pick up the pieces of that and move on. I mean, still in 1997, this kid's got a cassette player and stuff. There's something that a certain villain says in front of some politicians where I was like, he just fucking went there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, he just said that. I wanted to like high five this dude through the TV screen. I was like, hell yeah. Like, he just straight out called out humanity, period. Like, and I loved it. And the final thing I had, I just did this today at work. A little bored in my new position, just a smidge, and maybe my boss will listen to it, maybe like, oh, okay, we'll change that. But I was like, what is the first story of Conan? And I went down what you call a rabbit trail, I call a rabbit hole, you know, whatever, doesn't matter. And one of the first stories that came out was The Phoenix on the Sword. Now, I've never read a Conan story. I've read comic books, I've seen the movies, and obviously I love them so much, you know, it's great. So I was like, well, I've never read this dude, so let's check it out. And the author's name escapes my mind at the moment. But anywho, I get, like, the very beginning of the movies, they always come with that, the scrolling thing that says, you know, the times of Arius and the sons of this and the Aquilonia and stuff. Well, that's at the very beginning of the story, and the writing is just ridiculous. There was words I didn't know what it meant, but I was so entranced. It's just a 5-chapter, like, short story. I read the first 2 chapters before I left work today, and I was like, this shit is on fire. Like, so good. I've tried to read Lord of the Rings, Game of Thrones, and I'm reading Harry Potter now. I got the whole series from my mother. Thanks. But the writing that you're about to tell me his name here.
Robert E. Howard.
Robert E. Howard. Not, I kept wanting to think of Doyle, and I was like, that's not the Doyle guy. That's the Sherlock Holmes
guy. You're thinking Doyle because it's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle spelled like Conan.
Yeah, that's probably why. But yeah, so like this dude, such good writing. Now I understand why so many Howard fans are out there going, wow, like those stories, the movies are cool, but you need to check out the books because the writing is fantastic. Like,
he created Conan. This is
a lot of him. And the dude, you ever see a picture of this guy? He looks like a gangster.
Yeah, I saw it.
Like he works for Jimmy Hoffa or, you know, Capone.
Yeah, like the white fedora going on.
Uh-huh. Like, was he in The Sopranos or what? You know, man, maybe he's down there with Jimmy in the docks, you know, writing down some stories. Who knows? But yeah, that's new for me in the world of geek. What you got over there, bud? Yeah, anything? Speak up.
Yes and no. I
thought you were going to go with
No. I cannot do accents like you can. Like, I can pull something little off for like a D&D game, but I can't just run with it like you. Like, I'm very envious. I'm not going to lie. I'm very envious of that. But it happens. So speaking of D&D, that is one of my things. All right. So we record Thursday nights every other Thursday.
And opposite on the of these Thursdays.
Opposite Thursdays, we play D&D. And my DM, his wife was sick. He had to take care of her and the kids. And they have 5 kids, you know. He's a little busy.
It's the roll of the dice.
Yeah. He rolled a nat 20 on fertility. But yeah, so he couldn't make it. And instead of canceling, because I originally DM'd this group, but I'm taking a break, we agreed a long time ago that I would build some little one-shot just in case something like this ever happened. He told me earlier that day, he's like, hey, I am not going to make it tonight. My wife is sick. Any chance you want to step in or should we cancel? And I'm sitting at work. I'm just like, yep. Oh, yeah. Now I will step right on in there. So I built a multi-leveled puzzle temple. That no fighting. I know a lot of people are in it for the fighting, and some people
hit him with your sword.
Some people are in it just for the role play. I didn't do any of the fighting aspect, but I did play into the role play a little bit because I'm an advocate of if you're gonna play and talk to each other, you don't just talk to each other. I want you in character talking to each other.
We've had these conversations. That's how I do it, man.
Like, I don't want you being like, well, I have 18 HP left. I could use a healing potion. No, you're not going to talk like that. You're going to say, dude, help. I mean, come on. The puzzles were all over the place. Some, like, you had to really think about. Some were just luck of the dice. And unless they lied to me, apparently they all thoroughly enjoyed it. We did have one character death.
Comes with the territory.
So it was one of those things where it could go either way.
He dies.
Someone could have died or someone easily could not have. And when I asked him about it, because I knew he had been talking a lot about bringing a new character into the game, because the one he is playing, he pulled over from another campaign with some friends of his. And he's specced into like four classes. And he's so spread out, like it's getting really convoluted. And he's just like, I want to just pull it back in. And I'm like,
I don't think I'll ever multi-class and do a lot of weird shit, man. I'm just going to give the first, next, if I ever get to play again, I'm going straight-laced.
See, I did a little bit. Right now, I am a druid with a single level in rogue just to get the stealth perks. But I told him, like, look for this. And I sent him a picture of a hallway, which I put up later during the game. I said, when you see this, you'll know what decision you need to make. And if you really want to end your character, I think you'll know how.
So this one shot gets to end his character? Like, this was continuity with...
Yes. The DM and I agreed. Everything that happens is happening.
Okay.
I ran by him the rewards and everything, and he's completely cool with it. So his character died, and in the very next room, they encountered another character that was him. And so the twist was that they were taken by trickster gods and put into this little temple for their entertainment. And his previous...
That's every Star Trek episode.
Well, his previous character didn't actually die. His previous character, like, fell through the floor. It looked like he died. Like, oh my gosh, he's dead. But in the next room, they encounter this dude who went through the same thing millennia ago with his old party. But nobody knows this. So he joined the party and they moved on when his former character is now stuck in that room waiting for the next group to come through.
That's a lot of torture.
Yes and no.
It's like that movie Cube.
They managed to catch his soul in a soul gem. And they're going to try and figure out how to revive him.
Is Thanos going to get it?
That's a soul stone.
Oh, gems, stones. I'm sorry. I'm not a thaumaturgist.
But so whatever. It's going to add a lot of depth for the DM to play with later if he needs like a little side story. Like, why not?
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
That sounded very, very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anything else happen?
In that game?
No, I mean like in your geek in your geek world, anything new?
Well, I did want to do another shout out quick. Thank you to Galactic Elliot for the interview that we did recently. He gave us a shout out on his Discord. Good guy. Look forward to working with him again.
Had a lot of fun. Very grateful.
A shout out to multiple episodes ago when I talked about Eric Bennett. He's the one who writes the Steel Wolf.
Steel Wolf. That first issue is pretty good.
It's pretty good. I talked to him. I told you he showed me like the cover art for his next one. And I asked like, hey, you know, just curious. And I told him kind of looking for content to talk about on my, you know, the whole what's new in the geek world section. And he said, unfortunately, Steel Wolf is on the back burner at the moment, that right now all their focus is into a new book called World Wonders, which is going to have Steel Wolf, Midnight Owl, who's the kind of.
Is this their JLA?
Yeah, I think so.
They're Avengers, they're X-Men.
And Thunder Woman.
Thunder Woman!
So he sent me the first four pages to go ahead and read, and it actually looks like it's going to be really, really good. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Hell yeah, man.
I will keep everybody up to date on when that actually drops. If you want to read his other stuff, Steel Wolf, it's indieplanet.com, and just search for Eric Bennett or search for Steel Wolf.
Yeah, if you just Google Steel Wolf, it'll even take you to where you need to go.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's really it for me. Are you ready to kind of dive into the meat and bones of this, or meat and potatoes?
Dive off a Covenant Corvette into the depth of space, trying to smash into the surface of the Halo.
Something like that.
Sort of.
So one more time, this episode will contain spoilers for both seasons 1 and 2 of the Halo television series.
And more than likely, anything from video games that might have had some sort of correlation.
I read some of the books and I played the game, so I 100%
spoilers.
All right, so diving right into it, I figured we could look at just a quick recap, like season 1, get people caught up again, because I know I had to go back and actually rewatch a little bit of season 1 because I didn't remember certain aspects of like, well, how did this conflict end? And so yeah, we'll just go over season 1 real quick if that's cool with you.
I mean, what if it wasn't?
Well then let's go to season 2.
All right. Settings and characters. That's where mine starts. Go. You guys give us a recap. You said you had a nice little paragraph of a recap. What do you got?
Well, okay. So if you already played the games, or if you know anything, literally anything about Halo, you already know that the overall premise of the Halo franchise follows Master Chief, also known as John 117. played by Pablo Schreiber, who is
half brother
of
Liev Schreiber,
yeah,
who played Sabretooth.
Sabretooth, the original.
Pablo needs to play the new Sabretooth. I'm telling you, he's fucking huge, man. I'm not even going to give you his height because I know you don't want to know.
6'30". And they're fighting a war against the Covenant. The Covenant is a race of aliens that basically
do a lot of clicking with their voices.
Hate people. So season one kicks off with Master Chief and Silver Team intercepting a Covenant attack on the planet Madrigal. They're attacking it was like some type of refinery, I do believe.
Yes.
I felt it was a fantastic introduction to the characters. It's a fast-paced, dynamic battle. Like, everything about it felt like you were playing the game.
I didn't play the games much, but it was fun to watch.
Yeah, we go through all that. Master Chief finds an artifact that triggers flashbacks. Because of this, he discovers Dr. Catherine Halsey, played by Natasha McElhone.
I don't have her name in front of me. That sounds about right.
McElhone is how it's spelled. He discovers that she actually stole him away from his family at a young age and replaced him with a quick dying clone, basically, that would die a few days later.
Cover your tracks, homie.
Shady stuff. As far as I remember, we never really got to see much of his backstory in the game. So seeing it played out on screen was both interesting, but it was also kind of disconnecting because you were always supposed to see Master Chief as being you. So seeing his own backstory kind of broke the immersion of the games. But it's also a television show, and I liked it, personally.
Yeah, well, okay, well, I've played the games very rarely, very occasionally, when somebody would kill me all the time. So, like, when I watched this, I didn't even think about, oh, does this matter? What the game? Does it match up at all? I didn't give a shit. Like,
right.
I didn't even care. I'd watched it because Pablo Schreiber was in it, and it had Master Chief, so I was like, okay.
Well, a lot of people throw a fit when he took his helmet off and they showed his face, and because Master Chief never see his face in the games. And
well, this is a different universe, man. Different reality.
No, we're not doing the multiverse theory.
Is this exactly the same one as the games?
No,
exactly. Okay, it's different. Okay,
anyways. We jump over. Halsey puts an AI named Cortana, played by Jen Taylor, into Master Chief's head. She's programmed to help keep him more docile. And instead, she kind of instigates him to remove his emotion regulator.
Yeah.
So he can feel things.
Yeah, like he takes out his chip, and then Kai takes out her chip. And then, like, the other guys are like, what's going on? And they have more confrontations with the Covenant. They go from this planet to that planet.
Mm-hmm.
They go to some asteroid where they find one of his best friends when he was a kid, Wookiee Bordnine, I think, or Boot. Borking, it's one of the B and the W's are switched. But anyway, he used to be a Spartan too, but now he's like some pirate who raids ships and stuff. But so he needs to get help from him. And he find out that like he escaped and he has a thing against Halsey because of what happened to him as a kid, you know, and they start trucking through the galaxy, you know, doing their thing. That's what they do in season one.
Yeah,
I feel like
much.
A lot of people are here for season two, so they got to know what happened in season one already. But it's a good little
refresher. I would assume.
Yeah.
Master Chief ends up encountering McKee.
Oh, yeah, the
she's
girl with the short haircut.
Played by Charlie Murphy. She's a mysterious young woman who also has reactions when touching the artifact.
She speaks Covenant.
Master Chief touched the artifact and had the flashbacks. She also apparently has...
Yeah, they both touch it at the same time. They're like,
Yeah, pretty much. So at first I didn't like her because it felt like it drove a rift. Like, there's supposed to be that big separation of Covenant and humans. Black and white, it's supposed to be...
Is she in the video games?
One-on-one. No, not at all. But supposed to be one-on-one. And to see a human on that side kind of threw it off for me at first, because, like, it didn't feel as...
It was a little bit muddied for me in that season. I don't understand exactly how she got there.
But
still,
playing the games, I mean, eventually you do kind of work with the Arbiter. So, eventually, Chief and McKee do start to form a bond, a little love relationship going on there. A
lot of bonding going on.
But eventually she does, of course, fulfill her mission. Turns out she was a Covenant infiltrator, I guess you could say. She steals the artifact, gets out of there.
Juices.
Chief mobilizes his team. They travel to confront McKee and recover the artifacts. However, during the battle, Covenant forces basically destroy them, like really mess them up. They're horribly outnumbered. Chief ends up in like a mind meld with McKee, and to break him out of it, Kai shoots and kills McKee. Master Chief ends up hardcore wounded. If I remember correctly, he took a hammer to the face.
Cortana, take over.
And Cortana... Yeah, basically possesses him and finishes the fight.
Man, she goes.
And the season ends with Cortana being there is Master Chief coming back.
Yeah.
So then season two picks up right around there.
6 months.
Was it 6 months later?
6 months. 6 months. So yeah, Halo season two, episode one, Sanctuary. I think the episode was a good start to the season, but I had a couple issues. Now, I wrote down these paragraphs of how I liked the episodes, trying not to spoil too much. Like, I'm not going to go into depth. You know, this character walks left, does this, pulls the lever, dies, yada, yada. I'm not going to do that. But with that being said, I think this episode was a good start. Had a few issues, and one of them being the Cortana deal with John. So you leave us on a cliffhanger. Oh, they're one person now. Okay, I know what I'm going into with season two. No, you don't, because now they're separated. They don't tell you why they got separated. They give you stupid little flashbacks of how they got separated. It irritated me. Like, I just felt like it was just a cop-out. Like, oh, crap, we wrote ourselves into a corner, maybe? What, we got to get out of this somehow. They do that, which kind of bugs me. It also kind of bothered me that as important as John is to this whole entire operation, he's shown time and time again, I'm John 117. I'm a Spartan in charge. Listen to me. Like, I know what's going on here. I've been in deep. And they're like, yeah, but we don't really believe you that you saw what you saw and you did what you did. And these people are here. And then he kind of just thrown to the wayside because some nefarious bad dude's there now.
Yep.
Is he good? Is he bad? But he's in charge. And obviously, well, shit, you know, like, he needs to take control. And the best way to do that is to, you know, besmirch John's word and shit. And I was just like, man, the writing's a little, you know, like, what's going on here? And I know I said it was a good start to the thing, but.
Well, it's a very commonly seen plot hook. Like,
right.
You know.
His name's Ackerson, by the way.
We know for a fact, because we saw it with him, you know. Here's what's going on. Why would they not believe the man? Because, oh, well, he's having mental issues. Then why are you sending him into the field?
Yeah, first off, that's a military no-no. And secondly, he would be debriefed. And I don't believe that after all the information, all the battles that he's been in, and as much as that he has helped out. What is it, the USMC?
NSC.
NSC. So the Space Marines. Yeah. So as often as he's helped the Space Marines, he'd be like, you know what? We're not going to take your word because we don't think you're being honest. You've never been honest before, so why should we trust you? It's stupid. It's bad, lazy writing, and I didn't appreciate it. And I was a bit surprised, though, how much Soren got as far as screen time in the first episode. Because they, like, here is Soren from last season. Boom, we're going to completely change it on you.
Yeah.
Now he's over here. They gave his wife, Lauren?
That's Lara.
Lara. They gave her something to do, brought back Quan for a minute, and I was like, okay. Because I didn't really care much for her, or not that I didn't like her, I just didn't like, you know, whatever. But even now, though, his wife has something to do, and she's actually interesting.
Even though Quan looks like 8 years older.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a fan of the Quan character, but it is what it is.
I have my own qualms with her later.
And that, I give the first episode a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I think it was a good start, but it's a starter episode. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to get everything you want because they need to give you the groundwork of what's going to be built upon
but
the entire season.
But it still started season two really solid.
Yeah, I think it did.
But yeah, I had the same issues. Like, why did they separate the two of them? Why didn't they listen to Master Chief? Like, but then you get that, was it season, or I mean, episode one, you get that battle in the fog.
Yeah, I mean, the action sequence is great. There's one thing I will say about every single episode, so I don't have to repeat myself consistently over and over. The action and the effects in the show were pretty badass. From
CGI is amazing.
Like, I had no issues with CGI or action sequences at all.
Yeah, I agree completely. And here's a question for you. I mean, it's revealed in a later episode, but why was Cortana, like, locked in the basement?
Yeah, they separate and lock her away?
Yeah, like, they had her locked away in a separate cell all to herself. They even said they wouldn't give her access to the, you know,
yeah, cause she's like, if
the internet.
Yeah, if you give me access to your GPS signal, like, I can hook you up here. Like, I will help you. And they're like, yeah, now we don't trust you either. Liar.
That's what I mean.
What?
Like, you just watched her save that entire unit, get the artifacts back. Like,
the only thing I can think of, and this isn't a spoiler because they never really fully explain it, is Perinoski, however you say her name. The
I think it's Perrin. Dosky.
Perrin Dosky. I was half and half there. Is that she was so hungry for power this whole entire season and, like, leading up to this season that she did some masterful plan to discredit John and Cortana in the sake of humanity.
Well, and that Ackerman, you know, or Ackerson, whatever.
Ackerman.
He's now in charge. We see John meet up with Perrinovsky.
We see Ackerson and Perrinovsky.
Okay, we see him meet up with her later on. Like, she's a street merchant. What happened there? When did she leave?
You do it. Oh, I'm not even gonna try to do that accent. But she's like, yeah, I got kicked out, you know, because of everything Admiral Halsey and everything, and I took the fall, and like, I'm not even part of this. So, you know, like, I got influence, but it's just here on the streets. You know, I'm just, you know, not that important anymore. Sorry.
Yep.
Yeah. So then we roll into episode 2 called Sword. Sword. That's how Conan would say it. Episode 2 is Sword. So we roll into episode 2, Sword. This episode felt a bit oddly paced and tonally dark to me. And I wasn't a huge fan of this one. It was one of my least favorite ones of the season. I don't know if it was because John was still being completely ignored. You know, he was even ignored by Kai. She's like, well, you know, I'm not sure you're really right. Like, they've been through shit. I wouldn't tell my battle buddy that I've been through shit with, you know what, you're probably just off your rocker and I don't believe you at all. You know, like, oh, there's this monster and here's all the evidence. Nah, no, you're fooling around. It bugs me. And maybe I was just really irritated by the fact that Ackerson and Halsey with this clone stuff didn't even really freaking matter. You know, he's got her in this certain sort of prison, holodeck.
Well, we find out that Halsey's been captured at some point.
Yeah, which they just, we got to bring her in somewhere.
Because the last we saw were her clone died, and everybody thought she was dead except for her daughter, Miranda Keys.
Right.
And then we see her on, like, a balcony, if I remember correctly, and, like, they're boarding a ship to leave the planet. So when did they bring her back and put her into the cell?
That's the type of the writing that bugs me. I thought the writing throughout the entire season had some weak spots. I don't know if it was just because, you know, they're trying to outdo season one and they went more on spectacle than they did substance. But yeah, and like, Ackerson's got, like, I'm assuming his dead father. He's like dying of some disease. Like, it didn't really, they're giving me all this stuff that they could have filled the episode with other things that probably would have mattered more to me as a viewer. I did like the situation aboard the Rubble with Quan and Lyra, you know, with the Hasidi crew and after what they've done. And they're just, the one woman was just a mean lady.
Oh, yeah.
she's just hitting kids. Like, she don't give a shit. Like, I don't care.
Well, and we see that refugees from planets that the Covenant have already glassed, the ones that make it to the Rubble, are basically being sold into indentured servitude because they literally have nowhere else to go.
Yeah. And the only reason Soren gets himself into a situation is because somebody lies and said that he knew where Halsey was.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, he did lie, but then again, does Soren meet up with her later on? Yeah. You know, money well spent, if you ask me.
So that guy was a hero.
He was. He was a hero. Hero to Soren. I'm sure Soren will thank him the next time they meet, if that guy survived. I can't remember if he did or not.
You never find out.
Yeah, and the McKee stuff that was going on, I don't know. It's there. It's a lot of back and forth about prophecy. It was like the same retreading lines.
If you played the game, you got a lot of that backstory. You know, they have their prophecy that they will be led to essentially like a promised land, like they'll ascend when they
find. But I got that in season one, so why are they just repeating it in season two? I already got it.
To remind you.
I'm locked in.
It's to divert your attention away from the fact that McKee is somehow alive.
Yeah, they don't really explain that either. Like, how's she kicking around? Because, like, I straight up. Because even Kai says, like, oh, dude, like, I shot her.
Yeah.
Like, bro.
I know I killed her.
Like, dude, I was like a foot away, man. She dead. I say you, she dead. But she's not dead.
Yeah.
So, no explanation on that.
None.
This is like a Lost thing. You know, I love Lost, but it's like the Lost issue where there's so many strands that just seem major important to the story that they're just like, we're not going to tell you.
Yeah.
You know, because by the time you get to the final episode, you don't give a shit anyway.
I almost feel like in season two, the writers are like, hey, I don't really like that we did that. Let's just not.
Retcon or just ignore it, right?
Right. And then they'll be like, well, it was a clone because we wouldn't put the real one out there or some bullcrap.
Yeah. 6 out of 10. I give this episode a 6 out of 10.
That's rough. Don't forget, in this episode two, we get to see a little bit of rivalry between the two squads, Cobalt and Silver. Because Cobalt's being sent off onto a mission that Silver feels that they should have had, but there's no record of it, and, you know, what's going on here type of thing.
Yeah, you start to get this Ackerson, and there's other people pulling strings, too.
But then we hear Cobalt Squad make comments about how all of Silver Squad, or Silver Team, took out their emotional inhibitors.
You're like, oh, you guys have feelings now?
When did Riz and Vanek take theirs out?
They didn't. Because even Vanek talked some shit there for a minute too about the emotions. I think Riz even get a side eye to Kai about it. Like they were even a little snipey about it.
Interesting.
And then Cobalt was even mean to them just because of high association.
Well, see, because I took it as, oh, well, they all popped them out. Like, is it?
Yeah.
But okay, that makes a little more sense then.
Yeah, but even though there's, I don't remember what episode it was where, oh, I do, it's Reach, where Vanek's like chilling with some doves or pigeons or something. I was like, that seems very emotionally charged.
Not stoic.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Master Chief is concerned because the reason Cobalt's being sent out to this location is a comms relay went down. Hey, that's the same thing that happened when
there's a pattern here.
The covenant that nobody believes me about.
Yeah, they're training,
so
man.
So what does he do? What any good soldier would do? And he lies to his team and steals a...
He proves himself a liar.
Yeah.
Yep.
He steals a plane and they... leave.
Because that's what true heroes do. They eventually rebel against the system that used to trust them and doesn't trust them and steals
no consequences as long as you're the hero, right?
Right. Well, I mean, he has consequences, though.
Well, so moving into episode 3.
Visengrad.
I liked and was thoroughly disappointed with this episode at the same time. If you want to go ahead and give your description of the episode.
I thought it was a mixed bag. You know, on one hand, the action with Quan and Soren's crew was pretty dope. But on the other hand, the anticipation for the battle on Visegrad Station that led to nowhere was kind of a letdown. So he steals the ship. They cruise over there and nothing happens. People show up and they talk to people, but
nothing
major happens. Like no big fight, no battle. It's just like they wasted gas for nothing.
Right. They get there and like it's empty. Like that's the thing that gets me, though. There's nobody around. Everything is dead silent in this military facility. And then when What's-Her-Face shows up to basically the military police to bring them back because they stole a ship, they could care less about the fact that, hey, obviously there's something really wrong
here. All we care about is you stole Dad's car and you're a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it just...
like the buildup was great and then there was zero payoff. We got edged on episode 3.
just a little. I liked how Keyes was not super fully fooled by Ackerson's bullshit. He's like, you're slimy. And I can tell you're slimy, and I don't have to follow your commands in a way, but I know you're secretly a piece of shit, and I'm not buying it. And he kind of like does what he has to do, but he's like, my eye's on you. The actor, Danny Sapani, that plays Ackerson, fan-freaking-tastic. This guy needs to be in more things.
I
don't know if he has been in more things, maybe I just don't notice, but this dude needs to be in more things.
So I like the acting, and I realized I really liked him. When I hated his character, like he made me hate that character for a while. And that's a sign of a good actor. Like the kid who played Joffrey in Game of Thrones, that kid was an amazing actor. If he could make you hate him that much.
Oh yeah. He had that nasty swagger to him.
Like to this day, I'm still happy that
choked.
Oh, I hate. Anyways.
Thank you, Tyrells and your high gardens. Hell yeah. I thought it was interesting to see John, who's so loyal to mankind, kind of become alone and searching for some sort of connection.
Yeah.
Namely in Perez, who lied about what happened in season 1 because she had survivor's guilt and stuff. And obviously Ackerson, you know, probably said certain things to her to manipulate her statement.
And she got accommodations for you know, her bravery when she was literally carried out of the situation by John.
Yeah. I mean, she was just a private or something it didn't even, you know, so yeah, easily manipulated. But he's like looking for connection because like he doesn't have his team. He doesn't have his mission. He doesn't he's not allowed to wear his armor at this point. Like he can't do anything. And everybody, like even Halsey's gone now. He doesn't have Cortana. You know, like the dude's kind of lost in this episode. Yeah. And I enjoyed this kind of spiral that John kind of went down, like feeling so alone when, you know, he wasn't supposed to have these emotions to begin with. And now he has to struggle. You know, it was just hard. And I was like, damn, I kind of feel for him.
Well, there's even that scene where he ends up having dinner with Prez's family.
Yeah.
And like you can just kind of see like this isn't something he's used to. He's used to a mess hall.
Mm-hmm. Just the way he sits with his arms.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you could just tell like this was
a defect.
He almost felt awkward, but you could tell he also kind of enjoyed the like back and forth, you know, harassment. And
yeah, it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was great. And this is also the episode where he goes to see Perrin Goski, and it's the first time we really get to see her.
She at the noodle factory or something? She was at the food court in the mall. Yeah. I don't know, whatever it was.
She basically says that he shouldn't go against Oni because, you know, A, B, and C.
Yeah, because by the way, I'm still in. You thought I was out. I tricked you. Ha ha. You're stupid, John.
No, we find that out next episode.
Oh, well, whatever.
Then we jump back over to the rubble where we get to see Quan yet again. But this time she's like not this shy little girl from the planet that was at Madrigal. Now she's half Navy SEAL running around. Like
chilling in the tunnels and sneaking shit. Yeah, because she got her little necklace.
It's like a tracker.
Yeah, she got it off.
Yeah.
Like nobody can get it off, but she's like, you know what? Finally, I'm just gonna take this thing.
I'm just gonna peel it out of my ear. Yeah,
it's easy.
But she's trying to save Lara and Kessler from the rest of Soren's crew, who just wants to kill her.
And Lara like peels off. She's like, "Take my kid."
Yeah.
She's like, "Oh, I'll take your kid. Protect your kid.
Hey, here, get on this ship and go away."
I thought the stuff with Halsey and Soren. His name here is Bokeem Woodbine.
You were way off.
I think I said Joaquin Bordenine.
Yes.
I've always had trouble figuring out his name, so I typed it here specifically so I would know what it is. Now, I've seen him in a lot of movies. He was on Equilibrium with Christian Bale way back in the day. Pretty cool low-key movie, sci-fi. And I was never a huge fan of him. He was in a couple vampire-type things. But Fargo. So we talked about me watching Fargo, finally got on that train. Then he's in a season of it, and he's so badass. He's so cool in his, like, hitman demeanor that it kind of gave me a new respect for his acting style. And now I'm, like, watching him throw a whole new light in season two. And I'm like, you know what? I understand why he has that certain acting way about him. I apologize, Bokeem, if you're listening. I was mean to you a long time ago, and you're acting kind of like people were mean on Keanu Reeves back in the day. But, you know, you're really good.
He's also in Spider-Man Homecoming. He plays the Shocker.
Oh, yeah, the uncle. The
first Shocker gets, like, no.
Oh, the other, yeah.
After the first the live Shocker action, gets vaporized. Live action. Yeah, he plays the Shocker. He's the one that attacks
Tom
Holland when he leaves the school at prom. Uh-huh. I've seen him in other things. I can't place it, though.
Well, he's never, like, a lead actor and stuff. He's having, like, a late resurgence, I found, on TV anyway. He's starting to become a bigger player in TV. Never really so much movies, but... I thought it was a decent setup of an episode for some impending doom that they kind of say is coming. But I did scratch my head trying to figure out how in the fuck did the Covenant even get on the planet? And they said they've been here for a minute. So they've been here for a minute. You just let them chill there for a minute. You let them sneak in and then you let them hang out. What? This is like one of their top notch military planets. And you just let them. What?
See, I was under the impression they didn't show up till the comms relay went down. But then you find out it's been down for a little while.
Well, at some point, somebody says, oh, they've been here.
But how did they?
Where were they?
Not notice that bright purple car pull up.
Ooh, like the Lamborghini and...
Yeah.
Cue the music. Nope, we don't want to get in trouble. I'm playing purple Lamborghini right now.
Jeez. And then, I mean, what really got me was we get to see Commander Keyes looking at the bodies of Cobalt Team. You know, Ackerson shows him the bodies and
he's like, they didn't even fire a shot.
Yeah, he's like, all their clips were full. Like, basically, they got just destroyed.
Right.
And it's, again, you're screaming at the TV. Why didn't you listen?
Yeah.
Like,
told you so. 8 out of 10.
Could.
That's my rating for this episode.
Could the events of the next episode have been avoided if Silver Team had gone instead?
Well, there's no telling the type of force. Even though it was apparently stealthy because they didn't even fire any shots, but there's no telling. Now, there is the argument that it would have made a difference because they dealt with Covenant forces of special type in season one very often. So, yeah, they could have made a difference. Could it have been avoided? No, because they're already on the fucking planet. So, no, it couldn't be avoided. Sorry, that was a little bit loud.
No, it's all right. It's all
right. No, I really like this episode, though. I gave it an 8 out of 10. This was a solid episode. I really enjoyed this one. Not so much because of all the action that it sort of lacked, but the emotional punch that this episode gave. It really gave you a grasp on the internal beats that everybody's going through.
Yeah.
To set you up for future. Because there's some things that happen in the future, like, I understand why that happened, because I understand where they were. Even the stuff with Riz trying, she has her blind therapist. And the guy's not really blind. They should have just got a blind guy. I've seen him in some other shows. The dude's not blind.
Oh, he's not?
No, he's not. He's not. The Black Lightning TV show, I'm pretty sure he played the villain in the first couple episodes I watched. I never watched it all the way through, but like, this dude's not blind. A good actor. I mean, I think he was a former rapper as well. But
so the last like 5 minutes of this episode really ticked me off, though. It was when Ackerson and he enacts the winter contingency. Basically, it evacuates. I have it written down here. Hold on. It evacuates all essential assets without informing the public. Yeah. So all important people and
Keys is pissed.
Equipment is allowed to leave, but the public has no idea what's going on. Yeah. Oh, that made me so mad.
Keys is like, well, you can get your ass out of here. I'm going to chill, but you're a piece of shit.
Then he goes and taunts Halsey in her prison cell with Soren, saying like, hey, I'm leaving. You're going to die here.
So is my pappy.
Helps his sick father commit suicide. Yeah. Like, he helped him die so he wouldn't get captured or whatever, which we all know the Covenant doesn't take prisoners.
No, they walk in like, oh, hold up here. This dude's sick. Well, let's get some medical personnel in here real quick. We don't kill sick and injured. No, like, what? No.
And then he just up and leaves. Oh, at this point in the show, I hated Ackerson so much. So much.
That damn accent of his. he's that nasty, he got that British, you know, I'm better than you type accent.
We do, however, find out why he was so anti-Halsey. Do you remember that?
I do.
We find out his sister, Julia, was in the Spartan program and didn't go through the augmentation and died.
It didn't sit well, clocked out. Yeah. Yep. Is the clone his sister?
Yeah. The clone that he keeps sending in to taunt her, and every time she tries to question it, it dies. That's because Halsey's his sister.
Just so you know, I do remember. I was playing coy. I know exactly who she was. I remember all my children that I stole from people, even though this one seemed to be voluntary. Some were voluntary, some were stolen. Soren stolen, John stolen.
See, that was a recurring theme, her children, which I thought was really screwed up that she viewed herself as a mother figure to them when she knowingly kidnapped them, put a clone in their place that would die in a few days, and caused hundreds of families all that grief.
Like the last Starfighter, at least his clone lived. So yeah, then we roll over to episode 4, halfway through the season. This one is called Reach.
Possibly the best episode of the season.
My first sentence, what a banger of a fucking episode I wrote down. The action is just top-notch, and the heartbreak was real. Okay, real.
Oh, dude.
It was a good call to have John and Silverteen without their armor, I think, because it showcased just how badass they could be.
Let me reiterate real quick.
Why they didn't have...
Spoilers ahead.
Spoilers.
Up until now, it's been all plot. We're getting into the meat now. Major spoilers incoming. Okay, that's out of the way.
Yeah, things... I mean, we're not going to go super, super in-depth. We're just going to keep brushing over like we're doing here.
No, we're not.
I mean, maybe. The fact is, if you have not watched these episodes, why are you listening to this episode? Watch the season first and come back.
So, Michael, why didn't they have any of their Spartan armor?
Because that British son of a bitch stole their stuff. He's like, the winter contingency. He's like, I'm going to be cold in space, so I'm going to take John's armor and try to wear it. Maybe it'll warm me up. Then he realizes it's three sizes too big.
Yeah, so they have literally no armor, no weapons, nothing. Because everything just
they're like picking up armor, or they're picking up weapons off the ground. He takes a fireman's axe. I was going to write a horror series a long time ago, and my main slasher killer uses a fireman's axe. Like, because I just think it's the iconic Jack Torrance, going through the door. I was like, what better weapon to use than like, you imagine a dude as big as Pablo swinging a fire axe at you, and the strength that John 117 has. He's Captain America's strength.
Oh, more.
I mean.
Let us know in the comments who would win in an
arm wrestling match.
I was going to say one-on-one fist fight, but sure, arm wrestling match. Master Chief or Captain America. I am putting my money that Master Chief is going to snap Captain America's arm. But it's okay because it'll heal quick.
Yeah, yeah. It's got that whole healing factor thing. And apparently John does later on this season too a little bit. Kind of surprised me. Maybe it's in the games that I didn't know. Again, the banter of Soren and Halsey. Funny.
It was.
Now they're walking around with each other and they're just slinging insults kind of at each other. She's like, well, I did this because that. And he's like, no, no, no. And like, they're so snippy with each other. And because they're kind of forced to be with each other for a minute. And I really enjoyed it. There's a certain speech that happens towards the latter half of the episode. Or I guess it's towards the first half. It's just like, it made me want to just go re-enlist again.
Commander Keyes.
Yeah, like Keyes is just, he's like, here is the deal, grunts.
The part where
man, is he a leader.
Flat out said, like, these Spartans are here without their armor because they believe, we can do this. He knew how to rile them up.
They fucked.
But he also made it very clear, like, you're probably not going to live through the day. Just putting that out there, people. Which, I mean, to be honest, if I knew it was inevitable. Like, there was literally no way I was going to survive this. I'm going to go as hard as I can. Like,
well, you saw some of the ships that tried to escape, you know, just whoop, oh, yeah. done, whoop, done. Yeah. And they were moving like super slow and just, but that, yeah, very inspiring speech. I mean, like I said, great actor, great character development, though might be short lived for this guy.
It did break my heart though when the invasion started. In case you didn't figure it out by now, in this episode, the invasion starts. And John is with Perez and they see her apartment building just get obliterated. Like, her whole family just died instantly.
Yep. Hey, pass the rolls. That dude's dead.
Well, and yeah,
pass me the pierogies. That dude's dead.
He's literally, he tells her, like, Cat they're lady gone. Dead. You just come on. Like,
but we got to keep moving. Got to keep moving.
Oh, it was hard.
It ever kind of reminded me of when you play, which I'm horrible with these games too. Shocker. Call of Duty. Like Modern Warfare, like the one where they're running through the city when the whole invasion's happening and shit's blowing up and they're just kind of grabbing their soldiers and just keeps dragging them. Like, we got to keep going. We can't keep stopping. That's what it kind of reminded me of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like people are, and they even, I didn't quite, I knew what they were trying to do here with the old lady with the retro shop. She's just like, well, I'm going to accept my fate. I feel like I've seen that in 10 different sci-fi episode series now.
There's always that person that says, well, it'll be okay. I'm ready.
I've never seen, like, you're just a piece of this plan that's just going to get annihilated. Yeah, I don't know. That kind of bugged me. But I thought, like, the action and the slowness was, like, a perfect paced mix. Even the lulls where, like, he stops and he's talking to Perez. Even those times where people are just chit-chatting, I was like, I wasn't bored. And I normally, in those parts, I'm just, like, I kind of zone out for a minute until, like, shit blows up again. But, yeah, I thought it was done fantastically.
So here's another fun one for you. Riddle me this. The invasion, they knock out power, which is how Halsey and Soren get out of their little holding cell. They see, or we see, I don't remember if they see it or not, but they see McKee grab Cortana, the AI chip.
Different generators, different power grid.
How did she even get in there?
Teleportation.
What?
I don't know.
I mean, like, the place is still crawling with military, and yet she, like, walked right in.
Yep, she did. I got a question for you. Where the hell is Kai?
Okay, so
that was my last line. Where the fuck is Kai?
So we see John and Perez running through the streets. We see the apartment building below. They run into Riz. She's there with Lewis and Danilo.
Her blind therapist and his boyfriend, or husband.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And then we see the husband get killed.
I did. The blind dude just picks up a rifle. And I'm just like, you can't see, homie. And he's like, da, 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 da. And he's just like, I can hear him. And he like he already has like a belt full of grenades and he just runs at him. Yeah.
And it's like in every action movie, someone has to chase it. No, don't do it. And then they get blown backwards like every single time. But it was kind of, I don't want to say funny, but it was kind of
like, bro, you can't see.
Like, he's running down the street with a belt of grenades with a rifle.
Like, I'm not doubting that maybe you're a great pianist something, hey, you Lewis, know? That's what blind people are good at, but
I was like, Lewis, wrong way.
You're shooting our guys. Friendly fire, man. Sony Dinkins got away.
But see, all this is happening. They finally get back to FleetCom, and the whole time, I do the same thing. I'm like, when are they going to run into Kai? Where's Vanek? Oh, there's Vanek. Okay, where is Kai?
Yep.
To answer your question, we don't know.
Not yet. We don't know yet.
Oh, I was so...
I'll tell you right now, but I would spoil it for you.
All right.
So, yeah, a lot of bittersweet deaths pop up here, and it kind of sucks. There's some very heartbreaking losses in this episode.
The second half of this episode hits so hard. Are we getting into it at all?
No, we'll just...
All right, I'll go this route. There's a scene where they're trying their damnedest to get as many people out of there as they can, and someone takes the sacrifice to make sure they get out of there, and it hit hard.
Got a light?
Yes. And, okay, so in my head, I'm like, wow, like, that is that mid-season death. Like, there's always mid-season, there's something major.
But wait, there's more.
Not 10 minutes later. Another major character death happened.
Man, stupid needlers, man. Like, stupid.
What killed
needlers.
Me was, like, you watch the needle go into the person's chest. They look down and see it, and the look on their face is,
oh shit,
I know what's coming. And then you just see that boom, body flies across the room, and you're like, holy crap, they just killed off two.
Did you appreciate the, I'm calling the Game of Thrones moment here? With, like, the Jaime Lannister moment.
Explain.
So, John, he is going to face off against one of the Covenant dudes, and he's like, I got you. And he's already like taking some dudes out. And he's like, I'm going to get you. And he has the opportunity. He picks up like the Needler. He's going to do his thing. And some other Covenant dude like takes him out, like out of nowhere, like kind of like shoots him. And then the dude that he's going to fight, like Jaime Lannister, is like, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
And he like takes his, what are those swords called that they womp with?
The Halo sword.
Energy sword. He just takes him, like decapitates the dude. He's like, dude, that was my guy, you bastard.
Well, I love it because like, he picked the sword up and you're like, finally.
Yeah, that's where the sword.
He's going to get in there. Like, I've been waiting for the, and he just gets knocked down. I'm like, really?
Yeah. And even the Covenant dude's like, you asshole. And then he kills the dude that did it. He's like, dude, that was not honorable.
But then
that was a Game of Thrones.
Because we need to have four more episodes this season. McKee randomly shows up here and says, hello? No, let him live.
Let him live, because...
Let him live on the planet that's about to get glassed.
You've accepted your fate, my friend. I say to you, good day.
And then Kai, not Kai, sorry.
No, Kai's nowhere to be found, bro.
No, not Kai, sorry. Quan.
Yeah.
Shows up out of like...
Quan and Sorin.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's Sorin. It's Sorin and Halsey.
Yes, yeah,
did you even watch this episode?
No, I'm thinking into the next episode. Yeah, Sorin and Halsey show up. And then
Sorin's like, dude, Spartan time.
Well, the beginning of episode 5, which is essentially where this whole battle ends, Quan shows up out of nowhere with Lara and saves them.
Yeah, their ship.
How did you know where to go? How did you get there without getting blown up on the way into the planet? Well,
they knew that they had to go to the UNC because when they killed the dudes on
the
ship.
If the planet is being glassed, that means there's a shitload of Covenant ships in atmosphere.
I don't care, man. If Emily's down there, dude, I'm flying in, homie. Flying in. I'm getting her.
Okay, but you're probably not coming back out.
Well, that's the risk I'm going to take. And apparently for these folks, it paid off. 9 out of 10 episode. Banger episode.
Oh, absolutely.
This episode killed.
Literally.
Might be my favorite of the season right here. Most heartbreaking and action-packed right here was where it was at. Top-notch. The writers actually knew what they were doing in this one.
I want so badly to give like a in honor of to the two major characters that we'll watched
do it at
fall.
The end of the episode.
We can't, because then we'll be giving away who it is.
Oh. We'll so, do it. We'll do it like a couple seconds after.
I do know, like, a friend of mine listens. He doesn't care about spoilers.
But there are some that
there are some that do. But
and we respect that.
This is one of those things that I don't feel it should be spoiled. I feel it should be experienced.
Well, there's a lot of characters that you can love that you can start racking your brain. It's that whole deal with The Walking Dead. Oh, my God. Who did Negan kill? Who was it? Who was it?
We don't joke about that.
I'm sorry, Glenn.
I'm
sorry, did I spoil The Walking Dead for somebody that just now started watching?
So I was at my buddy Jordan's house. We were all excited. We're watching the finale. It ends with that. And we're like, what the actual fuck?
I know who one of the guys died, and I just knew it because the red-haired dude was one of my favorite characters. And I was so like, well, I like him, so obviously he's going to die.
I had a bad feeling on who it was because I knew who Negan kills in the comics.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they veered hardcore away from the comics.
Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl doesn't exist in the
exactly.
And we waited, was it like three, four months for it to come back. And the whole time we're like theorizing, well, who could it be? Well, it was from this angle. So maybe it was like trying to break down like the, you know, anatomy of the circle and who was where.
Suck my nuts. You hear what he said?
I've read before. Now, it might not be true anymore, but that was like one of the most anticipated episodes that premiered to see who died in like television history at that point. Like,
I can believe that.
Oh, it was just insane.
I can believe it.
Was it Jeffrey Dean Morgan that played Negan? Fantastic actor. I absolutely love him.
Oh, he's great. He's good.
First saw him as Dean and Sam's dad in Supernatural.
He was also on an episode of Shameless, and then they recast him because he went to The Walking Dead.
Well, that happens.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Dermot Mulroney.
I absolutely agree. This is like a 9 out of 5 out of... Or 9.5 out of 10 for me. There was not a single dull moment of this episode. Like, the whole thing.
No, even when they're just walking and talking, it was fun.
While it had its holes, it was just so beautifully put together.
Yeah, they put a lot of their probably budget eggs in this basket.
Yeah. And like you said, the action and the CGI, like, normally in mass battles like this, if you pay attention, you can find places where they had to skimp a little bit because they're trying to focus on this. It was gorgeous. Whole way through.
Absolutely agree. Episode 5, Illyria, not a disease, not to be used of Valeria, the chick that Conan was in love with in Conan 2.
From
Conan
my 1. Immediate overview of this episode, we went from red hot, full speed ahead to emergency brake is pulled on, we're at a dead stop. night and day difference in, like in D&D, when you go from fighting to role play, it's completely different.
First thing I wrote here was, this was a much slower paced episode compared to the last one. And that was understandable. Because, I mean, yeah, you get a little bit of action in the beginning because it leads right off from the last episode. But yeah, it's a very much slower paced. We learn more about how they deal with family, how they deal with friendship, how it's all viewed. We learn how just how deeply loyal they are to one another. Even still friends and loving towards the ones that wrote them off a couple minutes before. Like, there's some characters that said, John, you're a nut job and we don't even care about you that much. And even though those characters aren't here anymore, he's still like, they were my Spartans. They were my teammates.
Yep.
I love them. Like, so frag off. You know, I'm not going to talk shit about him now. Do not speak ill of the dead is what they say. I'm not a huge fan of the Quan seeing the dead shamans who speak of impending doom thing.
I've seen this
so many times, like, and it's so fragmented and they just. I don't like when supernatural forces take the time to invade your mind over and over and over, but can't clearly or plainly tell you what the fuck is coming.
See, I simply put, what was with Quan's vision plot hook?
Yeah, like...
she had no, in any way, no hinting at these
They said powers. There's like a line somewhere, and I don't remember specifically what it was, but it was like,
she's the last descendant of a certain bloodline, yeah.
But like, it can manipulate and give you visions. But it can't say, oh, by the way, specifically, Jimmy Joe John is coming through the door in 5 minutes. Be prepared. Like, it can't just tell you the Undertaker's coming for your soul.
Right.
No, it has to be like, there's something in the wings. I can't tell you what it is because writing, you know, that bugged me.
I mean, it was a cool visual how, like, they have a funeral for one of the fallen. In the middle of it, all of a sudden, she's standing alone.
Right.
And facing this shaman lady.
If you have the power to do that. Why don't you just speak? Hey, yo, in about two more episodes, this is going to happen.
Which, okay, part of me is like, all right, the visions, like, okay, I can deal with it. But later on, something happens where, like, they full-blown go, like, oh, my magic. No. And you know what I'm talking about. Just
I think so.
No.
It's probably the part of the episode where I drifted off, where I was just like, my lord. Where was I here? Oh, yes. Ah. When Soren and Laren look for their kid, you know, that thing whole happens.
Yeah.
And guess what? Doesn't really go anywhere. Yeah, we just wasted 50 minutes of an episode to really do nothing other than to showcase Soren is a badass and he really likes being a dad because he was called out about not being a dad. And he's like, no, I'm not going to tell you about how much I love being a dad, but I'm going to talk to these other people that I think have my kid about how much I love being a dad. And you get to see, you know, Lara be kind of mean, like kind of like that shopkeeper. He had it coming.
She's taking that that rod and like wrapping barbed wire around.
Yeah, like she's like, oh, speaking of Negan, yeah. I don't know if you've seen The Walking Dead. However, something might happen, homie.
She wasn't messing around.
Right. It's kind of a wild goose chase thing. I didn't, you know, like I wanted it to go somewhere and it didn't. I mean, you have to wait for that plot line to ever get its nugget. I feel like this episode was completely up and down for me. Kind of like middle ground at times, but at least Cortana was getting some stuff to do with McKee and the champion guy, which I wrote that because later on I was like, oh, his name's Var. And then we find Kai in kind of a new role compared to her character before. She's still a Spartan, but we learn where she is and what her new purpose is. And you're like, okay, well, shit. I've never seen that scene though, ever, where somebody just walks out and there's a whole entire massive army waiting for them.
You know, The Force Awakens or anything.
No. Nope, but never.
That's a heck of a jump. She went from not even the commander of a team, just a field grunt, essentially. Yes, she's a Spartan, but to suddenly in charge of an entire program.
I think she might have been a sergeant, maybe. I don't know. I think John's a major, or he was major, and now he's Master Chief. I don't know the ranking structure in the UNC. You know, it feels like it's a little bit of Air Force, a little bit of Navy, a little bit of Army.
That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like all forces pulled together. Yeah.
I give this episode a 7 out of 10. It wasn't as bad as the other one that I didn't care much for, but this one was probably my second least favorite episode. I did enjoy John kind of like walking off like Clint Eastwood, like, I'm going to go fuck some dudes up and I'm going to do it hard.
And we lose a Spartan in this episode.
Yeah. Somebody decides, you know what? My fight is done.
Yep.
I'm going to go make a garden,
live a normal life,
find a rocking chair.
Yeah.
I'm going to chill on this really horrible planet that just kind of sucks. Like, this planet they're on, Illyria, as that was the name of the episode. Just kind of a, I wouldn't want to live there, kind of wasteland. But yeah, that's our thoughts on that episode. And then we roll into episode 6, Onyx. And isn't that a Pokemon?
Yes, it is.
And there's Pokemon galore in this episode. So Ash goes over to I'm confused. I thought this was the Pokemon episode. I was having flashbacks of Grenada. I apologize. Episode 6, Onyx, Halo, Season 2. The determination to make someone pay that John speaks of in the previous episode really gets felt by a few soldiers in this one. So, like, he's like, I'm going to murder some dudes. And some soldiers feel that wrath in this episode. I like when the one, he's looking at him, he's like,
even when they're like,
you're gonna click that in? You're going to click that in? He
turns himself in and like, they're taking turns chaining him to the floor.
And he's just looking at that one like, you know it's coming. You know it's coming.
When number 3, he's like, really? Are you ready?
Even the dude that went for the gun, he's like, don't do it. Don't do it. Even I like the one guy, I think there is one that is just like, no, I'm out. He just dips. He's like, nope. Like, I'm a tough guy. Like, I'm not afraid of like anybody. However, if John 117's looking at me, looking to like turn me into mincemeat, might say I will live to.
If I just watched him grab the rope and just whip the guy holding the other end of it across the room.
Yeah, you're looking at a guy, what, like 245?
They're supposed to be like 7 foot tall.
No, I'm talking about the dude that was holding on to the thing.
Yeah.
You're looking at a dude, he's probably like 6 foot, 230, 240. I mean, like, he was in great shape. And he just took that and whoop.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
Spartans are supposed to be between, I think, 7 and 8 feet.
I think Schreiber's 6'5".
You're talking a big dude.
Yeah. I think he's like 6'5", 6'6", or something like that. Like he's
Really?
Well, and then in his armor, like, imagine how tall he like would look in the armor.
Yeah.
And here, he wasn't even in it. But John has a new purpose. And in this episode, it is to beat the living shit out of a lot of people. And he does that. It was nice to see Miranda Keyes show back up, as she was MIA so far in this season for the viewers.
Yes.
I almost forgot about her for a minute.
I was
like, oh, it's you.
I was wondering.
What, Jake? Who's that?
Like, I was trying to remember from the last season, like, where did she end up in the end?
I don't remember. Other than she was just.
I like her, though. She's a good actress.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This, of course, leads to Quan, Shaman, Doom stuff that is a bit shaky for me. I kind of drifted off there. Is this what you were talking about? Because I was like.
No, this is one part.
Because this is when they first get down there, but there's stuff that happens after.
The part I'm thinking about is in the last episode, but no, she like uses her magic shamanility powers to like.
Oh, to unlock the door.
Understand the puzzle that has taken people with infinite resources, you know, years, and they barely scratched it. And she's just like, here, let me get that for you.
Did you? It was open, silly. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I now that you specifically told me that was.
That annoyed the crap out of me.
I move at the speed of plot for sure.
Yes.
Soren tells his baby mama about his tough childhood, and Kai is tricked yet again. He's like, they're really hard on me, and I was a Spartan kid, and yada, yada, yada. Kind of retreading a little bit there. And Kai's like, I think something's going on here, but you know what? I'm going to do what you tell me to. Yeah, I'm going to do it.
The whole showing her the video of him beating up the guards and being like, this is what he did. He's been brainwashed or whatever. You need to go.
He's working for the Covenant.
You need to go put him down. Give me a break.
I cannot buy that she is that naive. No fucking way.
I did love, though, that during their fight, if you want to call it that, he literally said, like, I'm not going to fight you. And he just took a beating.
Yes.
Like. I mean, he took a beating.
But don't worry, because after he takes that beating, Cortana does some magical across the galaxy secret save the day shit and helps a yet again Padawan John reach the artifact.
Please tell me that's what you have actually written.
That's exactly what I've written down. I was like, now, I know, okay, so they're far away in space, and I understand how physics on a very basic level works, and I understand. Even if subspace from any reality exists, like actually exists, to send transmissions
millions of light years,
let alone you'd have to, she's pretty much just data. Not the character data, but she is like data.
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, teraquads of data going back and forth instantaneously, knows exactly the layout, knows how to unlock the doors, like, and at the same time be, I guess, what you would call conscious on the Covenant Corvette to deal with what's going on over there. Wow. Cortana is the greatest AI ever made.
She does get caught, though.
Yeah.
Because they say, oh, transmission went out from the ship. But that's it.
Yeah. And he smacks her holographic hand.
And then what does he do? When John gets in there, he grabs the artifact.
Yeah. At the same time that McKee is going to.
And they end up things. Like in their deja vu.
Yeah. But what's going on? Tell me, what's going on as she's trying to get to the artifact? Like, what's going on? Because we talked about this. And,
sorry. I was like, what?
Kind of like in a daze I was during the Quan thing. Okay, yeah.
This bourbon's kicking in.
It is spicy.
No, okay, so I love this part. I did. Yeah, over the course of all the episodes, you slowly see the, I guess you call him like a covenant priest, a religious head. He doesn't like McKee. He makes it very clear that
she's human and she's waste.
He doesn't trust her. She's human. Like, no matter what, yeah. And finally, the whole transmission, but thanks to Cortana, they think she did it. And he comes flat out. He's like, you know, she needs to die. Kill her.
Yeah, by order of the church.
And Var, the arbiter, pulls his sword out. And he gives, I don't have the exact quote, but he gives this little spiel about like, brothers, if you're with me, be with me now. Every time you've seen something like this in a show, he turns on the people that are giving him orders.
Yeah, he kills Emperor Snoke.
But
or whatever.
Turns into like a full-blown massacres, force-on-force. It's Covenant.
He starts slaughtering dudes.
It is just fantastic. And during all of this, Kai thinks, I'm going to go... Yeah, Kai. Not Kai.
There's Kais and there's Keys and there's McKees.
During all of this, McKee, she does what any person would do, and I'm going to go grab the artifact.
Well, she's drawn to it, you know?
I don't care.
Well,
you know that you're zoned out when you're holding it.
Which anything John tells me sees. This, if she was dumb enough to get that haircut, then she's dumb enough to go slithering over to an artifact.
And John even somehow, through her, you know, their FaceTime, he sees something coming behind her and, like, shoves her out of the trance.
Yeah.
And she ducks just in time. Like, what the heck? That's what we call plot armor. Like,
oh,
holy
for sure.
Crap.
Yeah,
that said, it was still a really, really cool scene.
I think this episode was, you know, it was pretty mostly good. And it brought a lot of storylines together for the most part. Like, we see people slowly start to coalesce together. Like, they're all getting to the same areas. You know, they're all interacting more. All the strands are starting to be woven together. We get a new dynamic for Kai here at times. And I question if she really was that naive, which I guess I kind of said that before. But, you know, she's training. Is this the episode where we see them do over and over and over where they're trying to infiltrate on the holodeck, try to get to the ship, the mind holodeck, they're like in there. Yeah, so like she's trying to be a leader. She's trying to inspire. She's trying to be John.
Which?
The Spartan Threes.
I mean, she was trying. I'll give her that.
Yeah. was she succeeding? I think she missed a part of her training, but she might have been sleeping when she was being taught, but she gives it a shot. And Soren's, you know, he starts to question who he really is. And I think it was a nice touch to flesh out the character because, yeah, he's been going on about his bad childhood and how he wants to be a dad. But I think he starts to finally realize because he kind of understands after he's been told time and time by Halsey that, you know what, you're nothing special, bro.
Yeah.
You've always had the stick up your ass thinking you're special, the jump on your shoulder. You really weren't. You're just another one.
Just another kid.
And I think he's finally accepting that and going, you know what, I'm not a pirate. I'm not a Spartan. I'm not just a dad. I'm not just he's trying to figure out who he is. And in the beginning of season one, I was like, I didn't really care for this character.
Yep. He felt like a throwaway.
I'm starting to like him, like a lot more. So I thought that was a nice touch. I gave this episode an 8 out of 10.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I do think Soren had the biggest character growth through the season. You definitely get to understand him a lot better than you originally did. And again, yeah, I definitely saw him as just a throwaway character in season one. He'd be one of those recurring, I need to go get help type people.
Right. I thought he was just always going to be on the asteroid. And maybe a smart writer thought that that's what was happening. Like, hey, maybe they pitched something else. I don't know. Is this dude maybe in the game? I have no idea. I think half these people aren't in the game, probably.
And we do find out Perez is now a trainee in the Spartan 3 program that Kai is leading.
Right.
Which it annoys me they call it the Spartan 3 program because they had no intention of giving them the augmentations.
Well, the third class, you know, they're...
Oh, my bad. Well,
they're...
Kai and them are all twos.
Yeah, well, then who the hell's one?
People who didn't live.
Oh, that's sad. Like Ackerson's sister.
Like Ackerson's sister.
Yeah. Not my fault. Her genes weren't tough enough to take it. the super soldier serum. Wouldn't it be cool if Steve Rogers tried to go through the augmentation of this, like to get augmented more? What kind of crazy looking beast would come out of that?
It'd be the Hulk. With the Hulk went through
the blue Hulk. Because we've already had every other color. I don't know if we've had the blue Hulk yet. Anybody out there, shout out. Have we had a blue Hulk yet? Ryan, if you're actually listening to this episode, you said you were caught up. Is there a blue Hulk that is your favorite character and you know all of them? Tell me if there's a blue Hulk.
There's a gray Hulk.
And a red one. Mr. Fix-It.
So the gray Hulk is actually what the original color scheme was. But I guess the comic book companies, they had a hard time getting that mixture right to make it gray. And it always turned out like a greenish. So finally, they just went green.
Yep. Just made it easier.
Yep. So you can find old books that he's gray.
And which is funny that that happened in reality, because when they did the storyline with She-Hulk, where the paparazzi are snagging photos of her topless out sunbathing.
Spoilers.
And then they try to, spoilers of the comic that came out in the 70s, and they try to sell the pictures to like the Playboy of Marvel. So they go to print the pictures and nobody told the people printing the pictures that it was She-Hulk. So they're like, oh, why are these things green? They must be wrong. So they just print them as normal and fix the color. So the guy never gets his money or anything because it's just a regular, plainly skinned.
That's hilarious.
Caucasian lady.
That's great.
It's just a cool little, I don't know. Writers seemed to be super sharp way back in the day about these things.
Oh yeah.
So, but then again, they came up with characters like Dum Dum Dugan.
Howard the Duck.
Hey, you leave that movie alone. That is a classic of my childhood. So,
a coworker and I just, we found on eBay a guy selling 100 Marvel DC indie, it's a grab bag or box of comic books for $40. So we figured, all right, $25 a piece for shipping. Let's give it a shot.
Oh,
I think we
no.
got two Marvel out of the whole thing and like 8 DC. And the rest were just one-off. Like indies that I've never
Dark Horse Comics.
No, not even
Top Cow.
Like stuff that I have never heard of.
Yeah. Oh man.
So we'll do a giveaway. I will mail somebody 30 random junk comics. A lot of them are number ones though. So
cross gen. Was there any cross gen comics in there?
No.
Cross gen had some cool shit. Man, I'm so mad that they folded. They had some really good stuff.
The one was called like Henry Savage. Like stuff that you've never heard of.
Wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so moving on to episode 7, Thermopylae. This episode brings us closer to the final chapter of the season and again shows the toughness and resilience of John. There's a scene where some dudes are supposed to arrest him, like there's a good bit of them, and this lady's screaming at him, and it might have been the chick from the empty station.
It was.
Yeah, and she's like, you better do your job, and they're like, no,
she
we're not going to die
says,
today.
Like, he's not listening, shoot him, put him down.
Yeah, and they're like, no, thank you, we're not going to do that. He takes control of her destiny along with Var, and he goes along with the rod, and seemed pretty cool. But what she does to Cortana was a real bitch move.
Drops her on the floor and stomps her.
Yeah, just take your brand new iPhone right now with all its AI and just put it on the ground and just stomp on it, people. No, don't do that. Kai returns to her good old self for a second. She does. She kind of gets her head clear. A lot of battling going on, but she kind of gets her head clear a little bit, and she starts acting like herself. Ackerson learns some more truth. And makes the character a little bit more problematic for me to like or dislike. Is he a real bad guy or just kind of a bad guy? And to kind of throw some misconceptions out the window about him just being a straight up seedy, evil, manipulative, baddie dude. I had to like really think to myself, is he just misunderstood? Is it the accent that we don't like? Maybe, I mean, he was obviously, Perendoski like pulled the wool over his eyes. But how could this masterful, smart guy not understand what was already going on? Like, how did he get fooled? I don't know. But it made, like, I wanted to hate this guy. And all of a sudden, I'm like, maybe I don't hate him as much as I thought
yeah.
I did. I still don't like him. Like, we're not going to be, you know, fist bumping anytime soon.
You want to explain how he was fooled?
Well, I don't know exactly how he was fooled. What he was.
The whole Spike thing.
Like, yeah, well,
he's training the Spartan Threes to try and board a ship.
Right.
Or the Covenant ship, insert what they call the Spike, which is like a futuristic USB drive.
Basically, they're pulling what's the Will Smith movie? ID4. They're just going to put a virus or something to like shut down their systems because they obviously understand the technology of the Covenant ships.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah, that part is the one that bugged me the most.
Instead, it'll actually cause like the reactor to go critical and cause like the ultimate nuclear explosion that'll take out like the whole star system. Like this is like a million square light years or something like that. Like
Solar system is going to go poof.
So it'll destroy all the Covenant, all the humans, as well as gonna kill our Halo. People.
And she's like, they understood the risks. No, they don't understand the risks, actually. They don't. That's a lie.
Yeah. When we find this out, this is one of the things, like, I hated, and I mean hated her.
Paranoski.
Like, you find out that she's...
She's the ultimate Karen. She's a galactic Karen.
Yes. Oh, if we ever have t-shirts, we're getting that. Galactic Karen. Like, she didn't care. She'll sending wave after wave of people to die.
Send the next wave.
Because they're not her. She doesn't care.
Yeah, she's thinking,
yeah. I was mad.
There's some underground stuff that happened. It was kind of okay, but kind of irritating. Can you explain why you might have thought that the underground shit was a little bit irritating with Quan?
Okay. So.
So here's the thing.
they got this big wall.
Door.
With a big
wall
circle
door.
Circle and little pegs in it. And it's like, well, if you move the peg this way and down here and over here and then do this and like smack it three times or something, like this
one of us happens. Always tell the truth and one of us always lies.
Yeah, like this happens. And they make it clear they've spent years working on this and they've only ever been able to open the one little light. And then Miranda Keys is like, well, I did this. Oh, I can open two lights now.
Yeah, because she's like, I was smarter than you, Mom.
It's like, I learned how to turn on the porch lights.
And Quan's just like diddling around, looking around, dusting some things off.
Now, all of a sudden, she gets another shaman vision of, hey, here's what you need to do.
The monster's almost here.
And they go through, like, literally, she starts moving stuff around.
Do you think finally the shaman, like, off screen was like, to the left, to the right, down, over, hotter, you're getting hotter, you know?
to the left.
Lean back.
And it's like, the stars have moved over time. And she starts moving stuff around. Like, how do you know this? And she's like, I just do. Bullshit. And then the door opens.
I'm the chosen one.
But no, so she magically, you know, solves this ancient puzzle and opens the door. Which, can you imagine living there? Like, back in when it was an active civilization? That's your key to get in the house?
Imagine coming home with some bourbon in your system and you're just like,
crap.
And then Sharon just finds you sleeping out on the street, just hockey couldn't unlock the door again. Like, those type of doors don't, like, what's going on here? And it just bugged me. There's so much buildup. The monster's so close. And where's the monster? And in this episode, it leads nowhere.
Well, so
they open the door. What's in the door?
A light bridge appears, which I loved the light bridges in Halo.
I don't even remember this part. Cool.
It was like hard light. They walk across the bridge. Okay. They go into what they don't know what it is at first. And they realize, it's a laboratory. They're there like 3 minutes.
Doesn't it like start collapsing or something?
And they find a body on the floor all curled up holding something.
These are called the Forerunners.
Well, yeah, they think it's a Forerunner, which I'm assuming that's the route.
Wikipedia is calling them Forerunners.
Which he's holding something. And all of a sudden everything starts collapsing. So they all run. And out on the bridge, because she's a freaking genius, Halsey stands on the bridge that's slowly disappearing, staring out over it's a city, because there's like thousands of these towers out across the landscape, like underground in this cave.
How big is this planet?
I don't know. Yeah. But she's like, there's so much knowledge here. And they're like, yeah, that's great. Come on. Because like, you're about to fall. And then of course, she snaps back into it because Miranda called her mom.
Mommy.
Instead of Dr. Halsey. And then
it sounds like you're not a big fan of this party.
Well, I love the whole idea of it, but it's just, again, they're trying to force too much into one episode.
Well, this should have been a 10-episode season, in my opinion. Well,
what got me, though, was Halsey wanted to grab the item that this Forerunner was holding, the little mummified corpse.
Okay.
No, we don't have time. We gotta go. But the daughter grabbed it. Did you get it? Yeah, I got it. And then she, like, pops it open. She's all excited. Later.
Oh, okay. So the next episode, the little artifact thing.
Yes, that's where
that's what they grab. Okay. Yeah, because I drifted. I seriously did drift off. I was like, this is.
I mean, it was great.
I might have had a beer
it's
or two.
Just they rushed it. They rushed this. This could have been an amazing part. Huge, like, exposition. Give us a little more knowledge. And I am happy there because it did give us as a viewer just a little more insight. Yes, it raised more questions, but in a way that it almost made us feel like, oh, we finally learned something.
And these Forerunner people are, am I right in thinking that they're supposed to be the builder of the Halos?
Yeah.
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 Halo. There's only one Halo, right? Is there only one? There's more?
Well.
In the games, is there more than one Halo?
Spoilers.
It's a game, man. You can go buy it at GameStop. Yes,
you find out there's more than one Halo. Okay. That's why there's, you know, multiple Halo games.
Oh, each game takes you to a different Halo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We get to see just how low Peridotsky will go, which we already covered that part. And it's pretty fucked up. He'll do anything to win the war. I do feel like the Soren storyline kind of spun its wheels a little bit on this episode again. Just, it's like you got a little bit of them. You started getting a sense, and they're like, oh, no, we're just going to retread. We're just going to retread, say the same stuff.
Yep.
But I still think overall, 8 out of 10, I think this was a good amp up to the finale.
Well, and we finally get to see Master Chief put on his armor again.
Cha-ching.
He takes the ship.
Silver Team's.
Silver Team's Pelican. He takes that sucker and he's going to. Because they figured it out. With Cortana's help, they know where their Halo is. He's gone. He shows up in that system and right in front of him, there it is. Over there, however, is the UNSC getting slaughtered by the Covenant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so we kind of glossed over that, though. You know, even though Cortana got shafted a minute, Cortana does secretly, hey, by the way, Chief. Yeah. I'm back with you. What?
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
here's a good one for you. I'm watching this. He shows up in the system. He sees all the fighting going on. You can tell, like, he's looking at his quarter or the coin.
He likes to spin.
Because, like, in the books and stuff, it even says, like, the reason he was chosen was because he's lucky.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing with.
Well, they cover that in the show. Somebody mentions something. They don't say it out loud, but they're, like, basically.
They said it because, like,
roundabout way you're lucky.
You called six heads in a row or whatever. Like, yeah, in the books, like, they make it very clear. It's because he was just lucky. I think they say
so. He's a descendant of Domino?
Maybe. But the episode ends right there. I flipped out. Because I'm watching these, and I'm just like, how can you end the season on that?
Yeah, you messaged me.
I messaged you flipping out because it was like, why? Why would you end the season there? And I'm so ticked off. And then I realized there's one more episode.
I was like, what do you mean, why would you end it there? Why is he so angry? Like, I don't understand.
The actual ending was phenomenal.
Yeah. I got some notes. Well,
if you end at episode 7, it's garbage. I was so mad.
I think fans might have rioted. Yeah.
So moving into episode 8.
Halo is the name of the final episode.
A lot happens in this episode.
The monster's here. The monster's finally here. Finally, we get a little bit of pay dirt.
Now, I wonder if that's the monster they were talking about.
Oh, God, I fucking hope so, because if there's more riddles, oh, my Lord. It doesn't take long for the episode to kick off its craziness, and it seems as if no one is going to be safe. Once this thing kicks off, this monster starts doing its thing. I'm like, shit, like anybody. I think it was a very unique take on this type of creature deal thing.
Do you play the games at all?
I know what this is from the games.
Did you ever finish the first game?
No, I didn't play that. I played handful of times with a friend.
So
that's all I ever did.
If you're listening to this and you've seen this episode and you know anything about Halo, you know for a fact it's the Flood. Cool. So in the first Halo game, you make your way, you first encounter them on Halo when you finally get to the ring. You go into one of these underground bunkers, kind of like what they found in this episode, like a big, door, and you're going down, but it's empty. Like when you approach the door in the game, you see Covenant running out, like screaming. And then you go down in it, and it's just empty, and you find, like, hallways that are covered in blood with dead Covenant bodies. You find, like, what looked like a war zone with dead Covenant everywhere, but you didn't do any of this. And, like, you're making your way through the game, and I think there's a human body here and there. And finally, you open the one door, and there's a guy sitting there shooting at you with his pistol, screaming, freaking out. And I think the first reaction of everybody is shoot him. Seriously, I think they just kill him. But if you don't, he goes into this little dialogue while shooting at you, keep in mind, about, like, you're not going to take me, you're not going to turn me into one of those, and, just going on and on and on. And as you progress, like, there's, like, stuff dripping from the ceilings, and, like, it turns into, like, a horror game. All of a sudden, the door opens, and these little, like, crawly, crab brain-looking things just rush out by, like, the hundreds, and, like, they're jumping at you, and then slowly, like, the monsters get bigger. If you didn't expect it, it's terrifying. Like, it gets your heart pumping really fast.
And that's what this is going on? Because these seem like just, like, zombies from The Last of Us.
So, this is the Flood. Because, the Flood, they infect people and create more of themselves. Apparently, this is their take on it. So, I'm wondering if they're going to run into any of the Flood in the Halo installation.
Okay. Maybe.
But, so, that artifact that Miranda Keyes grabbed when, you know, no one else could, apparently. They opened it. She's doing research. There's some biological substance in it that seems to be coming alive again. And this got me. Like, holy crap.
Well, yeah, I mean, they play a lot with claustrophobia in this episode and body dysmorphia in this episode.
So she walks into the room, and there's another, like, biologist or tech or something in there. Super giddy about this discovery. She's like, did you touch it?
No.
And she, no, of course not. And then she leaves. And of course we know she touched
it. Yeah, bitch does it. Come
on. How did you get where you are to be in that type of facility if you make stupid decisions like that? Did you at least wear gloves?
Well, listen, humanity's running out of people.
Wait, did she
probably
walk?
Because half of them got destroyed on a planet.
Someone probably dared her, like, hey, go lick that.
Fucking window licker.
So, and yeah, we see, like, people, well, she's obviously patient zero. So here's my question to you. How is it spread?
Well, she bites that dude, and then it goes into a system.
Okay. But how is it spread?
I don't know. I'm not a biologist.
Nothing bit her. So
she touched it.
Did she touch
contact.
It? Okay. Let's say that then. Let's say
they said something about when something alive comes in the vicinity of it, it wakes it up.
Yeah. Okay. So it woke up because there's a possible food source nearby or a host.
Yeah. And she touched it and it went into her.
So she touched it, went into her. She bit somebody, it went into them.
Uh-huh.
How did random people start getting infected on the
Well, we don't ship? See all of it going everywhere. We don't see the connection.
You
we
see people just suddenly stop walking and like freeze. And that's the indication that they're being taken
Well, somebody
over.
Was sneezing or something too.
So it's airborne?
It might be. I mean, it's possible.
If it's airborne, then why didn't Miranda get it?
These are a lot of really good questions that the writer should figure out.
Why didn't Housie get it while she was in the command center with all these people who, like that, suddenly got it?
Maybe the woman walked around and touched a bunch of shit before she attacked the other guy. I don't know.
What about Soren and Khan or Kai?
No, I'm following your path here. You're looking at me like I wrote the damn episode. I don't know. I don't know.
They end up in insanely close quarters with the flood.
Right.
And the only person that's even worried about being infected is someone who got like a scratch and it's already showing infection. No one else cares.
I don't know, man. It's a different take on the thing for sure. And we're just going to have to wait and see where it goes. And they'll give some answers next season of how it works because they'll have to come up with something to defeat it.
Okay, so and on that note, this is the Quan part that just drove me insane. She's being cornered by the flood. All of a sudden,
oh yeah,
they're gone.
Yeah, I forgot about this part.
And she's talking to the shaman woman again. And the woman's like, I can only hold them back for so long using her shaman, you know, magic Bluetooth to hold them back 2 feet away from her. And she walks right through the crowd and runs away without the flood attacking her. What the?
Yeah, I didn't get that part either. Did not quite understand. And if there's a lack of enthusiasm here, it's probably because in these scenes, I have lack of enthusiasm.
That is true.
Because I'm like, what the hell's going on? Not so much in the giddy girl infecting everybody. I was like, oh, it's another cool zombie thing. That's simple. But I mean, it's cool how they all get like a third shoulder stub.
Kind of.
Whipper yeah. armor thing. That was the bi dysmorphia I was talking about.
Well, then, do you want to go into the whole prison cells? Like, that whole scene was just kind of...
Well, that was the claustrophobia I was talking about. You know, them kind of being in the hallways and stuck in the cell. The things are inches away from them. They're trying to get it. You know, shooting isn't helping that much and they don't really have weapons. I mean, it was a whole thing that seemed like it just should have been there because why not? I'm not sure why they were really locked away and nobody else is locked away down there. And they were such a high priority. I don't know. It's just one of these loose end things that was just kind of thrown together, I think, to get people in certain places.
Yeah, because Soren finds his wife and kid locked away.
Ackerson
finds himself down there. They put the patient zero, who obviously had a mental break, and started biting people down there.
Yeah, like they don't.
But that's it. That's all.
A researcher or nothing. Like the shit's still going on. I don't know. I feel like it's slowly as the flood moved when they just stop and just ponder existence for a minute that maybe. People that were noticing what was going on, because somebody eventually did notice, could just start is with their training, just go clack, 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 and just drop a couple of them real quick. You know, I think there's enough people that weren't infected. They could have just mowed them down fast because they all just kind of stopped. Like,
yeah.
Fucking mannequins.
Like, how do you not notice your coworker standing completely motionless in the hall? Like, people were
like, I know Steve's normally a weird dude, but he's like really weird right now.
Like, they even showed a scene. Miranda in the little lab that's just happens to be in the middle of everything with glass windows the whole way around. And she sees somebody just stop walking in the middle of the hall. Uh-huh. People are walking around them, minding their own business. Like
Julie never stops talking, but she's looking very weird and sweaty right now. Maybe something's going on with her.
And then the mass outbreak all of a sudden on the bridge. Just beautiful. Yeah.
Paranoski.
Got what she deserved.
Good luck. She might have lived.
Nah.
Yeah.
I do enjoy how she just, her and Halsey lock eyes.
Yeah, Glenn lived too, let me tell you.
Yeah. Like under the dumpster.
Yeah, they lock eyes when she's on the other side of the door, like, nah.
And she just kind of reaches her hand out just a smidge, and Halsey's like, sucks to be you. Oh, my arm's itchy.
And of course, you get that classic, you know, open the door, open the...
Uh-huh.
All I could think of was Alien Covenant. Or no, Prometheus. Sorry.
They definitely pulled from a lot of different sci-fi sources, zombie sources for this episode. Yeah. John gets some occasions to whoop some major ass.
Dude, probably one of the best parts of the series. Oh, my word.
Him and Var?
No.
Or him on the ship?
So we find out...
It's on the ship, because I thought that was the previous episode. Yeah.
Yeah, we find out what his decision was at the end.
Yeah, because Baranowski's like... Because he kind of, like, mutes her. Muted sometimes. And he's like, I'll listen to you when I want.
Well, you can just tell he's over it.
Yeah, he's like,
he does not care what she's
saying. I'm probably not even, like, I'm getting court-martialed if any of us ever live, but I don't give a shit. So he jumps onto the Covenant Corvette that, you know, Kai and everybody's on, and they're mowed down. Like, there ain't much of them left. And then all of a sudden...
Well, they're like...
He just starts mowing through people hardcore.
It's Perez and Kai. I don't think there's anybody else alive.
I thought there was two other ones.
They're like cornered, and they are screwed.
And they're like, oh, what is that? We hear something, and then you just see like some lighting.
Somebody turns on the fog machine.
And and
the best quote in the whole show, that's Master Chief.
Yeah.
And then we cut to him just
save the day,
rocking them with, he grabs a freaking sword finally.
I love how he drops down to the knee and always does that swirl move. And he just comes up with like the uppercut, and he does all the other twirly things, and he's spinning around, you know, just this like badass, you know, ninja type stuff.
Like a deadly ballerina.
Yes. Soon to be in John Wick 17.
So do you ever stop and wonder, like, is that Schreiber in the suit? Like, I know it's CGI with, you know, the aliens and...
But is he mo-capping it?
Well, just like Iron Man. You know, he's not actually wearing this big bulky suit. But yeah, is Schreiber the one doing the motion capture, or is it just a stuntman? Because if it's actually him, I think he would make the perfect Sabretooth, because we know
he got in great shape for this, so why wouldn't he do some things? Maybe some flippy stuff. I don't know, maybe.
I'm going to research it. The Spartans that we see, they are in phenomenal shape.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I would not arm wrestle Kai.
No. I wouldn't arm wrestle Riz either, really.
Well, I think Riz will just shoot you under the table.
Yeah, probably. And speaking of other Spartans, you know, Kai, you know, there's a heart-sinking thing there.
Yeah.
We'll have to wait to season 3 to get some real answers on that. I mean, Wiki says it's definite, but I don't believe it.
Kai goes full Twisted Metal, and instead of driving the spike into the console and blowing up the whole, you know, universe, she... drives straight into the, what was it?
It's like their main ship that is like destroying all the other ones. It's like their, it's not Death Star, but it's.
You almost said Death Star.
Yeah, I almost said Death Star. But no, Star Wars has that one ship that almost has like a beak at the end of it. It's like this big black Imperial ship. I don't know. It's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, this is the one that shoots like the big giant laser that just cuts the human ships in half.
Yeah. So the last we see Kai. She just crashed it. I mean, they both blow up. And without that big main ship, apparently that turned the tides and the humans start winning.
Well, yeah, because that was because the Covenant only had one ship to do that, you know.
Yeah, and last we see Kai, she's just floating through space. So is she or is she not gone?
Got to wait till season 3 to find out.
Because somehow she didn't get blown to pieces when both ships exploded.
Well, listen, she is wearing some really tough armor.
She didn't have her helmet on.
I don't know what to tell you other to wait till season 3. I don't know, man.
And then we cut down to Halo.
We're down to Halo. Now, at the beginning of this episode, John's talking to somebody. And that part kind of bugged me. It's just talking to somebody. I don't know who the hell it is. I don't like it when episodes show me the end before I get to see the beginning.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And they didn't really show me an end, but I'm like, well, if he's just straight up talking to somebody,
they did it like a debriefing scene.
Yeah. So, yeah, he gets down there. He's like, well, I guess you need to go over here because that's where McKee and her dude is. I'm going to go talk to them a minute. Hey, fellas.
But I do love that we have Cortana back in the picture because remember, he like punches the console in the One Covenant ship and magically reabsorbs Cortana.
That's how magic works, so by punching things.
When they're on the ring or on Halo, she's like, you want to go over there? And he's like, how do you do that?
So, yeah, he go meets up with them, and he's like, yo, what's up? You guys want a party? And Var's like, yeah, bro, I want a party. Well, they party. They have themselves a little throwdown.
Yeah, they do.
And Var wins, and Var's now the hero of the show.
Yep. Crazy plot twist.
Oh, that would have been crazy. Oh, he just starts wearing his armor.
He just jumps over, and you see Var in, like, a debriefing, like, oh, well,
I punched his chest and took Cortana. It's how magic works.
I ate his heart.
Yeah. So they have their throwdown. McKee decides she's going to run off into, I guess I'm being told by the internet, it's a Forerunner structure.
Yeah. She opens the construct or the structure and she goes running down into it. And of course, you know, why wait for backup that's coming through the clouds right now? He's going to run in after.
Yeah. He's a one man show. He's a one man show for sure. And that's
and then we get the little sneak peek as it, like, you know, pans a cross section down through the earth and down through the structure, and you see this little blue light thing looking at you.
Yeah, well, and the dude's like, "Hey, man, he's it's waiting down here for you." Like, what is it? Is it the real monster?
No. Well,
is it a Forerunner? Like, we don't, like, I don't know. For people that didn't play the games, we don't know.
From the games, it's known as a monitor. It is in charge of all the functions of the Halo.
Are we talking about the dude that's like talking to him or the dude that he needs to go meet?
No, the little like orb.
Yeah, it's like the Kryptonian.
Mechanical orb with
thing,
an eyeball.
Yeah, the Kryptonian thing. Yeah, but he says he's still waiting in here for you though. Or it is. Like, there's somebody else that John has to talk to.
Well, I think it means the monitor.
Oh, okay.
Also known as Guilty Spark. But I don't know if we'll get that name for it or not.
I'm Modest Spark.
And again, I want to know.
Opposite of guilty.
I want to know if the flood's going to be in the structure.
Well, the show got canceled, so I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It's making Paramount know. Listen, Paramount is like, they're about to shut down. You know what I mean? Like, Paramount is in trouble right now.
I am surprised that the overall series, seasons 1 and 2, is only a 7.3 out of 10 on IMDb.
What did the first one get?
Well, that's the whole show altogether. Oh. I didn't see it per season. I didn't find that.
Or what the Rotten Tomatoes is per season.
I personally think season 2 is superior to season 1. I think that they took they completely cut out the whole romance between him and McKee. When they do see each other again, it's not like, oh, hey, babe, how you been? It's, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, she got what she wanted. In more ways than one, and then dropped him like a fucking sack of dirty laundry.
You didn't call me.
Yeah, like, my lines were open.
All right, so real question.
Do you think, John, no, here's my question real quick. No, does he have a leather jacket?
Damn you. I was just going to ask, who in this show is leather jacket to you?
Well, you just did that line.
You stole it. No, I don't care.
I'm like Cortana.
Nope.
I know what's happening.
I don't care.
You didn't call me. You just sounded like Leather Jacket. It's like you did a Leather Jacket impersonation.
Trying to be Master Chief.
You know what? My name's no longer H Train. It's now Leather Jacket.
I'll introduce you.
Ackerson's Leather Jacket. To answer your fucking question, he's Leather Jacket. Of course, Leather Jacket.
And he survives.
Thanks to Soren.
Well, that is true.
I like how Soren walks away and then, wait, like, he's coming back. Oh, fuck, he did come back. Okay, he's like, stay by me.
I do, yeah, he was just like, oh, no, he was like, stay.
Stay where I can see you.
Stay where I can see you. Yeah. Because Soren, he's definitely the type that he'll just shoot you.
Yeah, he's like, I don't really need whatever you have in your brain. I don't need any of that shit. All I have is my gun, and that's all I need.
And my kid.
Yeah. 9 out of 10. I give this episode 9 out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Second favorite episode next to Reach for me.
The series so far, seasons 1 and 2 put together, what do you give it overall?
I don't know about 1 and 2, but I give season 2 an 8 out of 10. That was my
solid.
I averagely it was 7 points on my. I jumped it up to an 8.
Okay.
First season, I would probably give a 7.5 or an 8 as well. I think this one is slightly better. I think they're kind of equal footing, but this one has that Reach episode. And that one just, if it didn't have a Reach, if it was just another basic episode, I don't know.
I could go back and just watch that episode and be happy.
Like, yeah, watch it again. Fantastic. The blind dude just shooting, dude.
Running.
What are you doing?
Running with the grenade belt.
Jimmy, to your left.
Well, he didn't even.
Pothole.
He didn't even contemplate his life. He's like, oh, my partner's dead?
See ya. Deuce. Yeah, overall, I think, you know, this season had some shaky parts, but, you know, most shows do. They have their ups and downs. But I'm glad it actually led us to two major things for season three, the Halo and the monster. Like, we're getting something in season three. It's not a hollow Halo promise.
What are you considering the monster?
I don't know.
The Flood?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
Okay.
I don't want to know. I'm not going to go research the games or nothing. Dude, I haven't even watched the Beetlejuice trailer because I refuse to do so. I don't want
to
know.
To my remembrance, or my knowledge, whatever you want to call it, I don't remember the monster being referred to in the games. I don't remember that as a reference to something. The Covenant referred to Master Chief as the demon.
Right. I remember that.
And...
Oh, and they've said it in the show.
I mean, there's the Flood, but I don't remember anything being called the monster. So this is definitely new for me.
Well, what were the little creepy crawly dudes? You told me before. What were they? They came out of the one episode they all pour out of the thing and take over everybody in the ship. McKee was there for a second. It was like season one.
Oh, the little worm-looking dude.
Slithers. What was the Slithers?
No, they joined together into one, like, creature.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called right now, though.
Yeah, John had told us what it was, but... So, theories on season three. My one theory is that Kai survives. I'm pretty sure she's coming back. And I think at some point, Ackerson is going to somehow sacrifice himself looking for redemption in season three. I don't think he's making it to a season four. I think he's going to do some bullshit heroic act to make us go, oh, he wasn't that bad. Those are my two predictions for season three.
Okay. So my predictions for season three were Kai survives and Ackerson turns into, like, he backstabs the group somehow. Maybe unintentionally, but somehow, because he's definitely a self-serving person. He does something that completely betrays, you know, Soren. And I think at the end of the season, Soren will be the one to put him down. Maybe okay. I could be totally wrong.
We both could.
But
he could live on to season four and not have any character development.
If they do what they did with season one, when we go into season three, everybody's alive again. Ackerson's dead. And the Spartan program never happened.
Oh, this was all just a vision. So season three is going to open with John just touching the artifact from season one, from the very first time. Go, oh, huh.
Spoilers. I never saw the movies. The Twilight movies. Did you ever see them?
Yeah, I've seen them.
So spoilers to the last two-part movie, I guess. I don't know. My wife was telling me about it. There's this massive battle at the end.
Yeah, it's like on a field.
And it's a vision. The whole thing is just a vision.
I forgot until you just told me that. Yeah.
I said to her, I'm like, if I was in a theater watching that and that happened, I would be so...
I was on my couch and I wasn't.
I'd be so pissed off.
First off, I have to watch this. And secondly, what the fuck?
Well, it's like, first off, if someone I care about dies, you just pulled my heartstrings for no reason. Second, that means there was never any stakes in this. Why did I waste my time? Why didn't you just say, hey, I've seen it. It doesn't happen.
It's the same with giving me the end... At the beginning, and like 16 hours ago. Well, bitch, I know everybody just survived because you just told me in the first 3 seconds.
Well, that's how I felt about
Rogue. I don't care how they got there.
So I felt about Rogue One, Star Wars Rogue One. Great movie. It's more of like a military style movie than a Star Wars movie, in my opinion. But you already know every member.
I had no emotional connection to anybody in that movie.
Well, you know, every member of the team has to die because they say in A New Hope from 1978?
Right.
Oh, 77, everyone died getting this.
Right.
Like, so, come on.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that got made, you know, but whatever.
Spoiler.
Spoilers. Spoilers.
Season three. You think it's coming sooner, later?
I think it's going to be late. I think it's going to be pushed back only because Paramount's got some issues going on.
Late 25 or?
I'm going to say late 25.
So if, God forbid, Paramount goes under or has to start cutting stuff and they cut this, do you think another network will pick it up quick?
I think so. I think Amazon or somebody will try to snag it. I was gonna say,
who would you want to see?
Well, I read some sort of line or something today that said Paramount, like whoever's above them that's trying to be some controlling thing or whatever.
Probably Disney.
What was it? But they're saying that there's a lot of, that they want to sell the Paramount stuff at junk prices or some shit. I don't know. I'm not into the know-how of studio money things, but I mean, I'm scared because of Star Trek. You know, that's all Paramount.
Well, I just saw there's a new Star Trek in the pipeline.
Well, they have Section 31 movie. Yeah. It's just started filming. So okay. It tells me, though, if Star Trek, Section 31, a movie that's happening that we don't really need. Yeah, I'm saying it. I don't care to all the Star Trek fans out there. We don't really need this movie. I really don't. If I want Section 31, I'll go watch Deep Space Nine. So if they're going to save that, I think they'll save Halo. I don't think it'll like have to be shipped off to somewhere. I think if Paramount's bought by somebody, it'll just be like a Cinemax HBO type thing. They'll still keep their stuff. They're not gonna be like, oh, does anybody want this cash cow that's here, the one thing that is making us money?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I just saw Disney Plus is dropping Star Wars Andor and Bad Batch.
Yeah, well, Andor's boring.
I never watched
it. So boring.
It. Like they're dropping two of their Star Wars properties.
I got two episodes deep and I was done.
So I personally, I would give season one probably like a 7 out of 10. And season two, like I said, I thought it was better. I'd probably give like an 8.5. So overall, I would give the whole show probably an 8 out of 10. I mean, I agree with that. Well, that's fair. And I feel at least room for improvement.
Hey, listen, overall, the show is amazing. And I glossed over it. You know, Lara dying.
What?
There's a big spoiler for you. Well, most of the people turned me off by now anyway. I thought that really sucked. I finally got a character I gave a shit about. She's gone. Listen, everybody, I'm going to give you my spiel just real quick. Thanks for listening. I love it. And Josh is going to lead us out with all his fancy wordage.
All right. Well, that's going to be a wrap on this episode. So we hope you found it entertaining, engaging, fun. All the descriptive words that we really hope that you found it.
And all the ones I told you to learn when you had to write your lists of adjectives and describable things back in English class.
And if you did, please don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to the Tree of Geek wherever you listen to your podcasts, be it iHeartRadio, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, which seems to be the popular one lately.
Our actual website.
Or, yeah, you can use our actual website, treeofgeek.com, that I don't think anybody has ever gone to. Your support means a lot to us, and it encourages us to keep bringing new and fun content to the table each week. We want to hear from you. Stay connected with us off the air, too. Follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or X, for updates, input requests, and to voice your own opinion. What do you want us to cover? Is there a specific topic? Let us know, please. We want to know what you want to hear.
We do, because what's going to happen is we're going to get done here. And I mean, Josh, we're going to sit here for like an hour and try to figure out what the hell we're going to record about for the next two episodes. You're like, dude, you're not leaving until we get this figured out. What is it going to be?
This is horribly true. Yeah.
Yeah.
And remember, if you love what you're hearing and you're feeling extra generous and you want to support us just a little bit further, consider becoming a subscriber on our Patreon for only $5 a month. Our patrons get early access to upcoming content, polls on voting what's coming up.
Maybe
we did the Crossing Swords. We would love to have had input on who you thought was going to win before we ran the episode. And you get a shout out every episode, as well as a lot more that's in the pipelines coming down.
Possibly some outtakes, some things that don't make it to air. They're like,
God knows we have enough of them.
Oh, man. An hour of footage you cut out. So. Yeah.
So big shout out to John for joining our free Patreon. We appreciate the support.
Thank you, Mr. John.
And a big shout out and a thank you to Unconfined You for becoming our first paid monthly subscriber.
This dude's awesome. Thank you.
Once a month.
I think it's a dude. Whoever it is, thank you.
They support us and they want to see us prosper. So unless
I'll live long and prosper. Hell yeah.
And remember, every like, follow, and subscription helps us grow and improve. So we are incredibly grateful for your support. Until next time, this is Josh from the Tree of Geek saying, take care, everybody.
This is the H-Train. Keep on rolling. A chugga, a chugga.
That she's
the ultimate Karen. She's a galactic Karen.